Welcome to the podcast that focuses on simplifying your TIAA accounts. Your host, Greg Shepherd, is an independent fee-only financial advisor that specializes in helping folks in higher ed get the most out of their TIAA accounts.
Hey there, folks. Greg Shepherd here. TIAA Simplified is the podcast you are listening to. I am, as always, your humble host. I appreciate all you good folks out there listening to this silly little podcast I've been doing for quite some time. Today's topic, I've decided I'm going to talk about two different things. Okay, so we'll break this in, well, in two segments. The first one, I'm going to discuss why, from my experience, you all need to quit procrastinating. Okay, there's not really a formal title to the first part of the podcast here, this podcast episode. So it just hinders or revolves around my experience dealing with you all out there when you contact me and the procrastination I see when it comes to TI Traditional and how to increase your position financially within TI Traditional, okay? So hang tight with that one. Next part, I guess we'll call it second part of the episode, opportunity cost. So what do I mean by that? Opportunity cost when it comes to, at least my definition of opportunity cost, TI Traditional compared to outside bond investments, and also let's throw in money market as well, okay? And so I'll piggyback off that here in just a few minutes. For those of you that don't know me, again, my name is Greg Shepherd. I do specialize in helping folks with those oftentimes confusing TIAA accounts. We're looking to simplify those accounts and make your life a lot easier. I do reside in the great city of Kansas City, but with the advent and the evolution of technology, guess what, folks? I have the ability to help folks all over the country just like yourself. So if you find yourself in the weeds on this episode or any episode within my podcast, by all means, get in touch with me. I'm a pretty easygoing guy, fairly simple to talk to. Email's probably the best way, greg@shepherdfinancial.com. That is greg@shepherdfinancial.com. Phone number, yes, I still do use that black box on my desk. It is 913-521-2381. All right, let's kick it off here. So don't procrastinate. Again, that's the pseudo title of the first part of this episode. So what do I mean by that? I'm going to give you a real case scenario, okay? So one of you folks out there, one of you watchers actually of my YouTube channel reached out to me, and you know we're not going to give names or really specifics on the situation. In generality, I guarantee what I'm about to talk about pertains to a lot of you out there, a lot of you out there, even maybe unbeknownst to you. So let me gather my thoughts here. So what we're going to talk about in this situation is how we increased this TIA participant's situation when it comes to TI Traditional, okay? So let's start from the beginning. She is working, okay? So she has a current employer. Now, she, as well as a lot of you out there, has an ex-employer as well. This ex-employer retirement accounts, of course, is still with TIA. She has an illiquid and liquid contract, of which both have traditional in it. Okay, I'm kind of setting the table here. Now, her current employer is with, the retirement plan is with TIA as well, of course, of which she has multiple contracts, okay, one of them being an RC contract. The reason that's important, this is a contract of which she is able, and this is institution specific, okay, so just because this applies to her doesn't necessarily mean it applies to you. You must contact your vendor, whether it be TIA or Fidelity typically, and ask them if they allow outside monies into your retirement plan. Okay, she had, like I said, multiple contracts with current employer, of which one, which happened to be the RC contract, was the only contract that allowed new money in. Okay, you could roll money in, or transfer, I guess would be the proper term, transfer money from a rollover IRA or an outside employer, ex-employer retirement plan. Now, keep in mind, she contacted me, and we were just going through some strategies. This was not on, not in her purview, all right, not on the table to speak about, but I brought it to her attention. She had, again, ex-employer contracts, one liquid, one non-liquid. The illiquid one, we have an issue with the traditional, so we already have initiated a strategy to liquidate that. Now, she wants to initiate lifetime income, of which it will represent, 20 to 30, no more than 30. I'd say 20% in totality. 20% of her portfolio, we're going to kick into lifetime income. So with the liquid money over in her ex-employer, that was getting like sub 4%. She's been with Tia a long time. This is going to pertain to a lot of you out there with these ex-employer contracts that have been with Tia for like 20 some odd years. You need to look at the rate at to which you're getting for that traditional money. I can't emphasize this enough. Okay, set it and forget it. Ignorance is bliss. Does not apply to you all out there in this situation. Okay, because you can do something about it. This is where I'm getting that don't procrastinate. Okay, I see it all the time. So we got a sub 4% rate on an ex-employer traditional liquid contract. New employer contract, RC, allows new money coming in. Guess what? RC, new deposits going in, getting north of 5%. So very simply, we're going to take the liquid contract, ex-employer, traditional, transfer it over to current employer, RC contract, traditional, get north of 5%. So theoretically, we're jumping from sub 4, like 3-something percent, up to 5-plus percent in literally however long it takes to submit the form and process, okay? There's step number one. I say, and I kind of fly through it, this can increase, and she had quite a bit of money, an abnormal amount of money in the liquid contract and ex-employer plan. So even if you have $5,000 or $10,000, okay, why not do this? Because a lot of you out there, again, are going to have sub 4%. Okay, even at 4%, what is 5.5, 5.25 better than 4? Okay, I say that flippantly because a lot of you out there procrastinate or just ignore these old contracts, and I know I'm beating a dead horse here, but you can do something about it to increase your financial prospects here going forward. Okay, so there's one thing we did. Now, also her current employer. Okay, we're looking to kick in lifetime income for a portion of her monies, okay? Now, by the way, let's go back to that ex-employer contract, the illiquid one. We didn't want, obviously, we couldn't kick it over to the new employer or the current employer because it's illiquid, the traditional money. So we had to initiate one of the exit strategies on that money. The game plan consisted of her not kicking that money into lifetime income for various reasons I won't get into. We have enough with the current employer and with that ex-employer traditional going to the current employer. That's plenty of traditional money to initiate the lifetime income in the amount that she's looking for. So let's fast forward to her current employer. Again, liquid, illiquid, right? The liquid money she's not getting, recently the last, year and a half or so, rates have been really good. So new deposits going in have been good, okay? She's been with current employer for a little bit of time. So she has old deposits, vintage buckets in the liquid contract, of which aren't getting as good of rates. Now, the illiquid contract, when it comes to traditional, always are going to get better rates, okay? So what we wanted to do, she didn't have enough in the illiquid contract to initiate the lifetime income and produce enough income that she was looking for. So we had to add to that, above and beyond that ex-employer money that we're transferring into the RC contract. So what we did is took money from her liquid contract, dumped it into the RC contract, okay? Not all of it, and I'll tell you why here in just a bit, and realized the new rate on those deposits going in, okay? And we don't care about it being locked up because we're utilizing those monies for purposes of lifetime income. Now, going back to the liquid contract current employer, we didn't funnel or transfer all those monies to the RC contract. We initiated a 120-day restoration rule for the current money. And I tell you what, folks, these are the summer months of 2024. It's only a matter of time. It's not if, it's when Jerome Powell and the Fed and the 5- and 10-year Treasury yield are going to start drifting down. That is going to impact that traditional rate for new monies going in. So if you haven't initiated that 120-day restoration rule, dependent upon what you're getting now, a little long in the tooth here. That's probably not the right saying. It might be too late. Okay, I don't know if it is. I can't see into the future, of course, with rates. And it also is dependent upon what you're getting now. But you're getting towards, you're in the ninth inning, okay? I can't think of any cliches. You're in the ninth inning, okay? For those of you that don't know baseball, that's the last inning without going into extra innings, okay? So I think you get an idea of what I'm talking about. If you haven't done it already, maybe think about some other strategy or get going now, okay? Assuming you have subpar rate of return on your vintage old traditional monies. Okay, so we initiated the 120-day restoration rule on the current contract, and the whole game plan is starting to come together for her. This puzzle is starting to come together. So we have the old, just to kind of surmise here, we have the old former contracts, former employer contracts. One, we're rolling over to an IRA, initiating the 10-year TPA paid out over 9 years, the traditional, the liquid traditional, going over to current contract in the RC, current employer, the non-traditional money in the old employer contract. We're kicking that to a rollover IRA, commingling the non-traditional monies in the liquid and illiquid contract for the ex-employer, okay? So with the current employer, again, 120-day restoration rule on the liquid contract, traditional, for let's just say half of the traditional money. The other monies, we're kicking up to the illiquid contract, realizing the new rate on those deposits, which is boosting her rate up, and we're going to eventually kick in lifetime income for those monies, okay? So she's going to have basically three sources or three buckets of monies once she retires here in a few years. She'll have a rollover IRA of which she can extract her income as needed. She's going to have lifetime income, okay, so for a portion of her retirement paycheck and, of course, Social Security when the time comes. She's set. She's in good shape. And here's something else I'll kind of, you know, added bonus here, added value. A lot of you folks have done a great job, okay? A lot of you folks that are contacting me are within a few years of retirement, you know, right on the doorstep of retirement. But you've done an excellent job, which is pretty much akin to, you know, the higher ed industry. You have a match, or we're not talking about pensions. So you have a match, supplemental, and you've done a really good job of being diligent and contributing a lot towards retirement. But at what point, and this is kind of a question you don't need to answer now, at what point do you say enough's enough in the sense that you have enough money to retire successfully financially? Did I say that correctly? Monetarily, you have enough to retire successfully financially. It makes sense in my head, at least. You get what I'm saying. Piggybacking off that, why, if you're in this boat, if you're in this camp, why do we have 80, 90% in the stock market? I understand you want more. But growth doesn't always grow. Okay, I know the last few years have been great for the stock market, 23 and 24, but it ain't always going to be great, right? Without getting into a lot of economic talks, at some point, the market's going to back up on us. At some point, we're going to go through a recession. Whether that recession be steep or not is irrelevant. It's going to happen, okay? So if you come to the conclusion financially that your game plan is set, if done properly, why do we want all this exposure to the stock market? Why don't we kind of chill out a little bit, understand that the last year and a half-ish has been very good to us in the market, stock markets, and the bond market. Let's chill out. You know, making 5.2% money market ain't too bad, okay? Maybe reduce risk on some of these high-flying growth investments. I see a lot of you contacting me, and it takes me about 5 minutes to put some numbers together, and I come back to you and say, hey, in a good way, you're done, okay? And what I mean by that is you have, John or Jane Doe, you have enough here financially to live on given the amount that you just told me you needed. So why are we taking this much risk? And the answer is, well, We're kind of skirting around the issue here. Perfectly fine. I understand it. You kind of set it and forget it. And it's done really well. So ignorance is bliss in that regard. But again, I'll reiterate, growth don't always grow. Okay. So what happens if the market backs up 20%? Obviously, we don't want that to occur. So if you're done financially in a good way, let's reduce risk, take money off the table from the growth in risky assets, and just chill out for now, okay? But that's a whole. That's kind of another episode. That's another topic to be had here in the future. What I want to get across here, the first part of this episode, is folks, take matters in your own hands, okay? Don't procrastinate. Whether that means calling me, calling Tia, calling somebody that can help you out, you, if you're efficient enough to look at your Tia stuff and understand where you could increase your potential financially, then do so, okay? Get help if you're not understanding what I'm talking about. Because someone like myself that understands what's going on, folks, it doesn't take us that long. It's not really that difficult to help you out. You just have to ask, okay? So I encourage you to go down that path, all right? Don't procrastinate. Get off your keister and get this done, all right? Let's move on to the next topic at hand, if you don't mind. I'll deem it, opportunity cost. So what do I mean by that? As I kind of alluded to here at the beginning of this episode, I'm talking about opportunity cost when it comes to traditional compared to bonds, and let's stick in money market as well. So let me see if I can coherently discuss this. Now, again, real case scenario, but I want to talk more in generalities when it comes to this part of the episode. And there are two parts to this topic, okay? So let's start off with traditional versus bonds. Now, when I say opportunity cost, what I'm talking about is, again, if you have traditional monies that are getting subpar, meaning, less than 4 or 4%, that's what I consider subpar. Is it worth keeping those monies where they are with the intention, the knowledge that you're going to kick it into lifetime income, a few years down the road, compared to kicking those monies out, especially on the liquid side, and investing it in outside bond investments? Okay, now, let's dig into that a little bit. So let's just say, hypothetically, you have X thousands of dollars into a traditional getting 4%. Liquid money, let's say you're over the age where you can do in-service distributions, or not distributions, in-service transfers to a rollover IRA, or if you can get into Brokerage Link, or you have a wide array of bond investments on the platform, which a lot of you will not have, by the way. Okay, but let's just do the in-service transfer again for argument's sake here. Do we want to keep that in 4% traditional or kick it out to a bond investment, keeping the conservative sleeve of the portfolio here? Right now, we're not really living in reality, even though it is, but it's going to revert back to the norm at some point, I think, here in 2025. Well, I know so. Bond funds getting an excess of 6, 7, 8% interest. That's phenomenal, right? So again, opportunity cost. Do we kick it out, get something that's getting 7% interest, even though it's variable, and that will come down, revert back to the norm, or even 5%, in a year, year and a half, something like that, and you hold that for the next 7 years until you retire, then extract for income, compared to keeping that in the traditional at 4% with the knowledge that you're getting lower rates, but you're going to kick in lifetime income, 7, 8 years down the road. You see what I'm saying there? Okay, with that payout rate being, anywhere from 7 to 8, 9% on the lifetime income. So again, backing up, opportunity cost is foregoing that lifetime income, but getting into investments that are going to produce higher interest for the next 7, 8, 9 years. You see what I'm saying there? Okay, you following? So if you think if you do the math, put pen to paper, and think you'll make more money by keeping it in that subpar traditional for the next 8 years, hypothetically, and then kicking it into lifetime income at an 8-point-something% payout rate, then do that. But if you have no intention of lifetime income, then kick it out to something else, given that subpar performance. But also, if you do the math, and over the course of the next 8, 9 years, interest-wise, you'll gain more money by utilizing an outside bond investment, then do that. Again, that's not that difficult of computation. And if you're not efficient in doing that, folks, just ask for help, okay? Again, I guess I'll go back to the first part of the episode. Don't procrastinate, okay? Because that could increase your financial prospects and future in a matter of days, okay? Now, the other opportunity cost I want to discuss with you is traditional versus money market. So let me set the table here. here we are, summer months of 2024, okay? And money market is variable. I know that. Traditional is, air quotes here, guaranteed. You can unpack that, what I mean by air quotes, guaranteed, some other episode. As I mentioned earlier, the Fed 10-year treasury yield, 5-year treasury yield, most likely in the future it's going to start going south. I would assume that traditional rates are going to go south as well, especially for new deposits. So what we're talking about really is your future contributions into traditional. Now, a lot of you folks, including my clients, have on the liquid side, for those of you not interested in lifetime income, we are utilizing traditional in lieu of bonds for that conservative sleeve of the portfolio. For those of you not interested in lifetime income, okay, it's been great. I mean, money market's getting 5.2%. TI traditional new deposits has slid down, especially on the liquid side, you know, 4-something percent. On the illiquid, around 5%. So the question posed to you at this point in time, latter months of the summer in 2024, do you take those monies, put it into traditional, depending upon what your goal and strategy is? This can be for the illiquid and or liquid side, with the knowledge that you're going to get, let's just say 5%, high fours, okay, on the traditional. It's different for each contract, which is lower than what you're getting currently on the money market, which is 5.2%. Okay, that money market's going to slide south. It's variable. When the Fed start cutting rates, that money market's going to go back and revert back to the norm. So in theory, so will new deposit rate for traditional as well. So do you kick in the money from the money market into traditional at a lower rate than what you're getting now for the money market, with the knowledge you're locking in at those rates on traditional going forward, compared to if you stick it in money market where it is now, that's going to drift south? You know, money markets historically, what, 2+%? Okay, 2-3%, certainly south of where they are now. All right, so do you see what I'm saying? The opportunity cost of you waiting is losing out on the rate, you know, come September, October, November, December. If it slides down, you're going to be in a situation where that money market's going to slide down as well, and you missed out on the rates on that traditional, which are about the same, maybe a little less than money market now, but you're locking in on those rates going forward compared to money market, which is variable, which is inevitably going to slide south of 5 at some point. Hopefully that made sense. I know some of you are following me. Others, I can see your eyes glossing over. Again, contact someone that can help you out. If you're kind of in the weeds, by all means, contact me, and we'll get you squared away. Real quick, email greg@shepherdfinancial.com, greg@shepardfinancial.com. Phone number 913-521-2381. That latter part, that latter topic where I'm discussing the opportunity cost, that gets in the weeds a little bit, folks, but I can't emphasize this enough. 10 out of 10 folks that contact me, we can always find something you can improve on, okay? And it typically revolves around traditional. You know the old adage, you don't know what you don't know. So a lot of you folks out there don't know the questions to ask when you contact TIA, when you contact your outside wealth advisor, especially wealth advisors outside of TIA. Folks, I'm being honest here. There might be, and I'm in the industry, right? I don't work for TIA, never have, never will. Great folks over there, great company, but I'm an independent advisor. And I'm being honest with you. There might be 3 or 4 firms that I know of in the country that are doing this TIA stuff outside of TIA. So unless you have one of those wealth advisors and the majority of your monies are with TIA, okay, he or she and that wealth advisor firm aren't going to know all the nuances, especially about what I'm speaking about here. A lot of these strategies get pretty complex and are pretty mature. That's a weird word to use, describing strategies, but we'll go with it. So I just caution you on taking advice from outside wealth managers when it comes to TIA, because just about every single time I run across you folks contacting me and say, hey, my wealth advisor wants me to do A, B, and C. He or she, being that wealth advisor, typically it's revolving around liquidating TIA as quick as you can and rolling those monies over to a rollover IRA. So they, being the wealth advisor, can charge on those monies. They can't charge on those monies at TIA, folks, unless they charge their fee on another account outside TIA on those monies at TIA. Does that make sense? So just real quick, I know this is, I'm going off on a tangent here. If you have a rollover IRA at wherever, Charles Schwab, and you have $500,000 over TIA, well, he or she, that wealth manager, can't charge on TIA, on the $500,000 at TIA. So what a lot of folks out there do, not me, but what a lot of folks out there do, say, well, I'm going to charge, you know, John Jane Smith here 1% on, or maybe a 0.5% on the TIA money and 1% on the rollover IRA. So guess what? I'm going to take that 0.5% fee on TIA and stick it over here in the rollover IRA because I can't deduct my fee from TIA. So all of a sudden, you got a 1.5%, 1.5% fee on that rollover IRA, which constitutes both accounts in totality, okay? It's not illegal or anything of that nature. I don't think you're supposed to do that, honestly. I don't do that. We don't do that here. But I see a lot of advisors do that. And just be knowledgeable on the fees folks are charging you. That had nothing to do with this episode. That's actually a different episode that I'll get into at some point here in the future. That's it, folks. Opportunity cost and don't procrastinate. They kind of coincide with one another, to be honest. So this episode is getting a little long in the tooth. Folks, feel free to contact me. You don't have to be a client of mine for me to help you out. I already gave you my email. Phone number one more time, 913-521-2381. This is Greg Shepherd with TIAA Simplified Podcast here telling you all to take control of your retirement today.
Thanks for listening to the TIAA Simplified Podcast. Just because this episode is over doesn't mean you can't continue your TIAA journey. Please visit www.safinancialservices.com to see how you can work with Greg.
S&A Financial Services is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.